was going to go for the Britney Spears look this morning, but unfortunately when I stood up, I was just told behind me that it all kind of fell apart. So we're going to have to stick this microphone. It's good to be here, isn't it? And it's good to actually spend the time worshiping God and giving him thanks that he deserves and he is due. Today we're going to look at, I've been given the topic, remembering the grace of God, and we're going to be especially just looking at the passage, the first 10 verses in Ephesians chapter 2. But before we go into that, I kind of just want to throw a little bit sort of an introduction. Often through life, we stop and we reflect, and it's often maybe different occasions, and we think about where we've come from and where we're going. This is often done, maybe done at birthdays, maybe a significant birthday, or maybe even a wedding anniversary. We stop and we look back and we remember the good times and maybe remember the bad times, maybe times that have shaped us into the people who we are today. And hopefully, not only that, we can then look forward to the days, weeks, and hopefully years to come. Even today after the service, we've got the church AGM. And that'll be a time where we'll look back and we'll consider what has happened over the past year. And I'm sure that the church leaders will be bringing to us the plans and thoughts that of what they've got going in the future. But I'm sure at the AGM and maybe even birthdays and anniversaries at significant times that as Christians we'll maybe stop and we'll consider what is it that has kept us together? What has been the glue, in a sense, that has kept us together? What has been that third cord in the rope to make that rope stronger? What has been that steadfast and certain hope that we've had when possibly all around us is maybe not going the plans that we maybe had? And hopefully we can say that is Jesus Christ. And so it is with this passage we're going to read today in the second chapter of Ephesians. Paul reminds the church of where they've come from. He talks about the good works that God has prepared in advance for them to do, but right in the middle, he reminds the church in Ephesus, and hopefully us today, of why this is possible, the glue that makes it possible, that holds us all together. And as we reflect, we will consider God's love, God's mercy, and more importantly, God's grace. So let's read the passage. If you have a Bible, it's Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be reading from the New International Version. But it's on the screen if you don't have that. Let's read this. It's entitled, Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I just want to pray now before we continue and reflect on this passage. Father, I just thank you for the truth of these words that we've just read. And I just pray that you would help us just to be able to unpack it and understand what has been written here. Thank you that not only is it applicable to the church in Ephesus, but it's applicable to us in Kirkliston here today. Speak to all of us, I pray. Amen. So right at the beginning, we see that Paul just reminds his readers and also us of where we've come from. So the first thing he says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. He says, guys, this is where you've come from. Transgressions, we have this idea of an act that goes against a law or code of conduct and intentionally to disobey. Sins, to miss the mark, to do something against God or a person. He reminds the church, this is what you were. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And in another verse, a verse I'm sure that most of us are familiar, it's when he wrote to the church in Rome, Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, every single one of us. Okay, and then he doesn't stop there. And he says, he says, remember, this is the way you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. And I think it was also good. He says, all of us. He doesn't exclude himself. He says, every single one of us were like this. What would also be, we were gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That's a wee bit quick. Can we go back a few slides, Tom? Right, we'll leave it at that. So, as I said, Paul was reminding his readers, reminding us of what we used to be like, dead in our transgressions and sins. This is the way we used to live. We followed the ways of the world, all of us, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and by sinful nature, deserving of wrath. It's a pretty bleak outlook, but just a reminder, guys, this is where we have come from. By our very nature, we were deserving of God's wrath. And if it stopped there, it would be a bit of a nightmare. What have we got to look forward to? But he doesn't. He goes on. And it's in red. It's maybe not coming up too well. But this small word, but. And this is where the good stuff starts happening. And he says this. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. I think one of the things that I've really managed to grasp as I've looked at this passage this week is that sometimes, and I'm very guilty of this, we can read a passage of Scripture and we can just read it and you go, yeah, that's very nice, good, right, excellent, when's tea? And we don't stop and let the power of the words really get into us. What do they actually mean? God's great love for us. It's not just a little bit of love. He has a great love for every single one of us. He is rich in mercy. Not just a little bit of mercy. Mercy is the withholding of a just condemnation. We deserve his wrath. But God says, no, I am rich in mercy, and I want to share this mercy with you. A convicted criminal will maybe cry out to a judge and say, have mercy on me. The judge may or may not have mercy on him. And yet, if we cry out to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, have mercy on me, even though we don't deserve that mercy, he will show us that mercy. He doesn't have a little bit of mercy. He is rich in mercy. And not only that, we see here we've been made alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Again, in another passage, we read words that are familiar, but again, allow those words just to sort of like sink into us. In Romans chapter 5, Paul just says this, he's God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to work to a certain, you know, point and God says, right, okay, you're okay now. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he says these words, it is by grace you have been saved. God's grace. How do we define grace? There's been so many books that have been written on it, and I think it's one of these words that we could probably, you know, look at and expand on. We could probably spend ages and ages on it. I just want to put a simple definition up, and I'm going to hopefully try and get this, read it right.
Here we go. Grace. Getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. So what do we deserve? Or by our nature, we deserve God's wrath. But because of his grace, he says, no, you're not getting that. What you do deserve is my love and my forgiveness. If you ask me, I will forgive you of every single wrong that you have done. So that is what, we don't deserve that, but yet God wants to give us what we don't deserve, and he's not going to give us what we do deserve. And again, as we come, and we, after this, as we spend some time taking communion, as we take the bread, and as we take the wine, just those tangible elements that just remind us once again of God's great love and his mercy and his grace for every single one of us. And it's tremendous that we do this on a regular basis, that we remind ourselves, because so often we can just take our eyes off Christ and we can maybe be caught up with all the other things that are going on, but we stop and we take bread and we take wine and we remember and think of what God has done for us, his great grace, his great mercy, and his great grace. Paul goes on then to remind us that it was God who raised us up in Christ. Our old nature is gone, and we've been clothed with a new nature so that in him we are seated in the heavenly realms. Why? Because he wants to, again, show the incomparable riches of his grace. Incomparable riches. This is a wonderful descriptive words of God's grace and his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. And then we come on to the verses which possibly we'll be very familiar with. And it says this in verse 8 and verse 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. James mentioned this earlier. We can never, ever earn God's grace. But he simply offers it to every single one of us as a gift. But with every gift that is offered, we have to receive it. Oh, but you don't know how bad I am. No, you're right, I don't. But God does. I've done some really awful things. And your point is, caller, God's grace is offered to you. His love and his forgiveness is offered to you today. And we have to, even as Christians, continually receive that gift. Because often maybe we can find ourselves in situations that can be overwhelming. And even Paul found that. And what did he say? He says, my grace, he reminds himself, is God's grace is sufficient for me. One of my friends also said to me that he says, you honor the giver by receiving the gift. We honor God by receiving the gift of grace that he offers for us today. And look at all other world religions as we stop and you know, as we even consider them. They all talk about you've got to do works, you've got to work your way up to God. And Christianity flips on its head and God says, no, I'm going to come down and show you my love. I'll do the work because there's nothing you can do that will earn my grace. And again, let us reflect on that as we go in shortly to the time of communion. But why is this written here? What does Paul finish with? There we go, verse 10. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. The New Living Translation uses the word masterpiece rather than handiwork, and I think that's a much more descriptive word. Certainly my idea of handiwork is, yeah, it's okay, but masterpiece, this is the very best. This is not just maybe sort of something that's okay. This is God's very best, and he says that we are God's masterpiece. God knows what he is doing. The circumstances that you find yourself in today are no surprise to God. It may be that you find yourself in a situation that brings you great joy. It may also find you find yourself in a situation that would be one of great affliction. But we have to hold on to the words that we read here. God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are many quotes that you could probably find about God's grace, but I wanted just to share one with you, and hopefully this will be an encouragement, certainly to us who are maybe finding a situation that is pretty tough. Rick Warren said these words. He says, "What gives me the most hope every day is God's grace, knowing that His grace is going to give me the strength for whatever I face, knowing that nothing is a surprise to God." Rick Warren, whose son at the age of 27 committed suicide, was able to hold on to the truth that God's grace would be sufficient for him to get through that horrendous time in his life. Was there pain in his life? Of course there was. Was there questions? I'm sure there will still be. Why? Why did this happen? But he was able to say these words and know the truth of them. And I pray that for every single one of us. Here, you're a Christian here today, that you would hold on to that fact, that whatever circumstance that you're going through, that God's grace is sufficient for you. So, let us remember the grace of God. Let us stop and reflect on where we have come from. Let us stop and remember God's love, His mercy, and especially His grace. But let us reflect on the truth of verse 10 and the reality of God's saving grace. And just for a few moments, I've just put this up. And I would love just to go around the room, putting your individual names in there. But my memory for names are not very good. So I've just picked out a couple here. People who have maybe come to mind. For Wes, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Petra, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Morag, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. And as I said, I'd love to go around every single person here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to just pause for a few moments, and I want you to have a look at that, and I want you to put your own name in that blank and stop and reflect in that, because that is what God wants to say to you this morning. After a few moments, I'll pray, and then we'll hand back to the worship team. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, I just thank you for the truth of this passage that we have read. Thank you that it's a reminder of what we used to be. And I thank you, Father, that it's your amazing grace that has cleansed us of our sin and allows us to be able to do good works so that your name may be glorified. Good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you, Father, that we are just reminded that we are your masterpiece. May we live in the truth of that. And may we, when we face situations that in our own mind and our own eyes, I think, are almost impossible. May we turn to you and simply say, help. And I thank you, Father, that you will be there, walking or maybe carrying us in every situation that we find ourselves in. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love, your mercy, and your amazing grace. Amen.